everyone owns guns. Oh, and did we mention we were about to trespass on someone's private property? Yeah, stupid decision number one. As we snuck through the barbed-wired fence, the four of us decided to turn off our cell phones completely. We didn't want to accidentally wake the cows. Oh, and we didn't want our parents to be able to reach us either. We weren't interested in letting them know what we were doing. Stupid decision number two. With a full moon rising above us, we cautiously waded through a sea of cacti and weeds. Once we were within 20 feet of the herd, one of our friends initiated a huddle to formulate a game plan. We agreed to work as a team to tip one cow. Our strategy was simple. Sneak up to the sleeping cow and push it over on the count of three. Did we mention we were all wearing bright white shirts too? Yeah, and it didn't help that the full moon illuminated our every move. Stupid decision number three. As our friends led the way, we followed close behind. Once we were within 6 feet of a cow, we froze. Cows are a lot bigger in person than they look from the highway. They're huge animals capable of doing some serious damage if they charge. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a huge bull emerged from the darkness. This was the daddy of all bulls, and he wasn't happy that we were messing with his females. "Run!" one of our friends suddenly shouted. Without hesitation, the four of us bolted for the fence. With our hearts pounding and sweat dripping down our faces, we quickly and cautiously squeezed back through the barbed wire fence. Once we were back inside the truck, we all burst into nervous laughter. As we headed back toward the campground, we knew we were in for it. Let's just say that wasn't one of our wisest moments. The minute our parents saw us walk into the campground, the questions began. We eventually confessed the whole story. They were extremely disappointed in our lack of judgment, to say the least. Not to mention our deliberate act of turning off all forms of communication. Yeah, we definitely got in trouble. Also, a farmer could have shot us for trespassing, or a bull could have trampled us, or the police could have caught us for breaking the law. Not smart. Looking back now, the two of us laugh at that story and wonder what in the world we were thinking. If only we could go back in time and give our younger teen selves some advice. Unfortunately, we had to learn some things the hard way. Been there, done that. Most of us have made stupid decisions in our pasts. We all have done things we wish we could get a do-over on, right? Being older now, we see things more clearly. We have more wisdom, more discretion, more experience. There's something to be said about growing older and learning from life's many past mistakes. There is wisdom in age. Since none of us can go back in time, we need to take advantage of the next best thing, learning from those who have gone before us. We need to take advantage of the wisdom of women who are older than we are. Those who have experienced far more than we have. Older women can't go back in time, but they can teach us what they wish they had done differently. They can help us avoid some of the mistakes they have made. This is what mentoring and discipleship is all about. In fact, God himself is such a fan of older women teaching younger women that he actually commands it in Titus 2, 3-4. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. That you're listening to this audiobook means you probably desire to have a godly marriage and home one day. If that is the case, you need to be intentional to learn from older Christian women who can teach you how to do that. The two of us have been greatly impacted by the older women who have poured into our lives. We want you to experience that same benefit. With that being said, we have something special for you. In this chapter, we are bringing four older godly women right to you. These four women have been married for 30, 40, and 50 plus years, and they love the Lord deeply. They know what it takes to build a strong marriage and family, and they want to help you get off to a great start. These women want to teach you how to prepare for marriage starting now. They want to teach you what they wish they'd known years ago. They want to help you build a strong foundation that will bless your future husband and family. We've asked each of these women different questions. Their candid advice is invaluable. So sit back, relax, grab a delicious cup of coffee, and enjoy the incredible and sometimes hilarious insights you're about to receive.
Yvonne Welch, married since 1966. How can I, as a single woman, best prepare to be a helper to my future husband? Many times, a young bride will look to her new husband to satisfy all the deepest desires of her heart. She will expect him to do what only God can do, give her total joy and fulfillment. In her book, Loneliness, Elizabeth Elliot says, "One of the surprises in store for most brides and grooms is that they are still lonely. A common but unreasonable expectation about marriage, and there are many unreasonable ones, is that the partner will now fill the place of everybody on whom one depended before, father, mother, brothers, sisters, and friends. Because falling in love is an all-consuming, preoccupied, and exclusive phenomena, it can be very hard on other relationships that no longer seem to be needed. But marriage teaches us that even the most intimate human companionship cannot satisfy the deepest places of the heart. Our hearts are lonely till they rest in Him who made us for Himself." Having been married to three very different men, separated by death, all of them fine Christian husbands, I have found that not one of them, or even all three of them together, if I had been a polyandrist, could meet all my needs. The Bible promises that my God, not my husband, shall supply all my needs. If a wife continues to depend on her husband instead of on Jesus Christ, she may easily become the contentious woman from Proverbs 27:15. When you, as a single woman, learn to take all your cares, fears, and concerns to the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis, your heart will be strengthened. You will be preparing yourself to be a godly helpmate to your future husband. Personally, I love to invest time with the Lord early in the morning so that I will be strengthened for the challenges of the day. God uses this to encourage my heart and comfort me. This habit has been the means God has used in my life as a channel of His grace to fortify me for the challenges of life. I believe this could be the greatest preparation that you as a single woman could make to equip yourself to be an encourager and helper to your future husband. What caught you by surprise during your first year of marriage? The first surprise, or rather shock, came when we had only been married a few days. We had just returned from our honeymoon, and I had taken all our clothes to the laundromat. I left the clothes in the washing machine and went shopping. When I returned to get our clothes, someone had stolen them. I drove back to our apartment and excitedly exclaimed, "Bob, guess what? Someone has stolen all our clothes. But don't worry. You and I can go shopping and charge all new clothes." He immediately said, "I don't believe in charge accounts." I was shocked. How could you live without a charge card? He then said, "I think we should pray for some new clothes or some incredible bargain that fits our budget." I had prayed for a godly man, but had assumed he would be one that fit in a little better with my financial policy. The Lord had to really help me get over that surprise, and I began looking for some incredible bargains.
Kimberly Wagner, married since 1981. What is one character quality you would encourage me, as a single woman, to start developing now in preparation for my future marriage? It wasn't until we reached a critical state in our marriage that I realized the power of a simple thing like appreciation. Appreciation is an action, not just a character quality we need to cultivate. There is an art to demonstrating it. Appreciation goes beyond gratitude. It communicates value, not only gratitude for what someone can do for you, but appreciation for who they are and for the potential of who they can become. Demonstrating appreciation appropriately to the men in your life now as a single woman will develop a heart that serves to help others be all God created them to be. We are designed as an essential strengthening counterpart. See Genesis 2:18. Whether you are single or married, you are designed to come alongside others and strengthen their efforts by being a type of life giver. Appreciation does that. It breathes life into those we serve. Even a small thank you for something as simple as taking out the trash encourages a man. Gratitude, expressed in creative and thoughtful ways, conveys appreciation, and most husbands thrive from it. Appreciation from a wife has the potential to inspire her man to become the leader God created him to be. Men are wired to be courageous leaders, but far too many husbands end up retreating to a cave of passivity
rather than boldly moving ahead into the unknown. I speak from experience. My husband stayed in his cave for several years. If a man is questioned over every decision he makes, criticized rather than affirmed, and treated like a child, typically that man will step away from the leadership role and let his wife take the wheel. When that happens, you have a mess on your hands. As a single woman, you have a tremendous power of influence as you encourage your friend, coworker, brother, or future husband to accomplish a specific task by demonstrating appreciation for what they are attempting. If you read through the pages of my journal, you would find that I often inscribe these words as an initiative for my day. My objective today is to encourage and infuse strength into my man. Knowing we are both involved in a spiritual battle that we cannot see, I expect attacks to come, temptations to hit, and I prepare myself beforehand. Before I'm tempted to grumble, complain, or vent my emotions, I need to stabilize my heart with the objective of demonstrating life-giving appreciation to my husband throughout the day. What caught you by surprise during your first year of marriage? This sounds naive, but I thought husbands and wives had physical intimacy. Not sure the appropriate words to use here, but I think you get the picture. Every single night. I mean, that's what a marriage bed is made for, right? And you'd rather do that than sleep, right? I was wrong. On the third night of our honeymoon, Leroy was too tuckered out to do more than barely kiss me goodnight before he was snoring. And my heart was broken. I was devastated. I immediately thought, he doesn't love me. He doesn't enjoy me. He'd rather sleep than make love to me. Which, on some days, is true. He would rather sleep. But only because he's flat out exhausted, not because he doesn't enjoy our intimacy or doesn't love me. Heidi Baird, married since 1982. What are some practical ways I can build a strong relationship with God now as a single woman? The other day, my youngest daughter, Sue, encouraged me to take one of those personality tests. To nobody's surprise, I scored 99.9% extrovert. Yes, I'm one of those very annoying people who wakes up like it's Christmas every day. I have always been excited about life and adventures, but unfortunately, as a young single girl, life was more about me than God. At 17, this 99.9% extrovert would wake up to have a devotional time with God each morning, but was having trouble being still for more than 5 minutes. I found my mind drifting off to my plans for the day or a recent conversation I had with my boyfriend. I was so distracted and couldn't seem to force myself to stay focused on my quiet time. I'd apologize to God for my distracted mind about 20 times and then start over. Nothing changed until my wise mentor, Mrs. Walker, asked me an eye-opening question. Heidi, she said gently, how can you have an intimate relationship with someone you don't even know? Ouch. But she was right. I didn't really know God. Sadly, he felt far away and boring to me. I had no problem spending time with my boyfriend. I was interested in his thoughts, and it was fun to be with him. We could talk for hours, and my mind didn't drift off. I wanted to learn how to love God like that. Thankfully, Mrs. Walker helped me learn how to do just that. Here are three life-changing habits Mrs. Walker encouraged me to put into practice as a young woman. 1. I would get up early each morning with my Bible and a notepad in hand, then go sit in my closet, a less distracting place, and write out as many character qualities that I knew about God. God is patient, God is forgiving, God is holy, etc. 2. Next, I would pray and ask God to help me know him more deeply and more intimately. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. James 4:8, NKJV. 3. Finally, I would take one of God's character qualities from my list and look up a few verses that gave me better insight into that particular quality. Then I would meditate on one or two of those verses all day. After several weeks of doing this, being in my closet became exciting for me. For the first time in my life, I was experiencing the amazing, awesome, and intimate relationship with my Father that I had longed for. If you're not sure how to build a deep relationship with God, I encourage you to do what Mrs. Walker encouraged me to do those many years ago. Grab your Bible, a notebook, and a pen, and settle into a quiet spot. Closets are my go-to choice, to begin writing out as many character qualities of God that come to your mind. Then meditate on one of those a day. Look up verses that teach you more. Spend time thanking God for who He is. I encourage you to do this for the next few weeks each morning. Like I did, I bet you'll see a transformation in your quiet time and love for the Lord. What caught you by surprise during your first year of marriage? After my husband and I returned home from our honeymoon trip and were settling into our new life together, I discovered that he liked to be in bed at 9 p.m. For this night owl, who normally went to bed after midnight, this shocked me. I loved late night, intimate, heartfelt talks. So, like any newly married couple, we compromised. I would go to bed early with him, then he would stay awake long enough to have some heartfelt conversations with me. That seemed fair. This was working well until one night when I was in the middle of sharing my deepest, most heartfelt thoughts, and I looked over to see my husband's eyes closed. He was sleeping, like sound asleep and snoring. What? How could he? I soon began to learn that my sweet husband only had about 15 minutes of listening in him at bedtime. I concluded that I would just have to learn to talk faster.
Barbara Rainey, married since 1972. What practical homemaking skills would be helpful for me as a single woman to develop? When my children were all 5 and under, we were friends with a very energetic widow in our small church. One day, after we'd been to her house, my young son said to me, "Mommy, I like going to Miss Kitty's house." "Why?" I asked. "Because it's so warm," he replied candidly. I knew he didn't mean temperature, but something else more intangible. My immediate thought was, does my home feel warm to those who visit us? My little Benjamin felt this single woman's warm welcome, her kind acceptance of rambunctious kids, her engaging interest in our family, her heart of kindness and love for anyone who crossed her threshold. Homemaking is the art of making a house a home. It is not the exclusive domain of married women who have a house full of wedding gifts with which to serve and entertain others. It is not dependent on fully developed cooking or decorating talents. A house becomes a home first of all when humans enter to live there. But as my little son understood, it's not just a place inhabited by people. My single daughter's first home was a newly remodeled little bungalow previously inhabited by a drug-addicted young man and his dog. No one would describe that structure as a warm home. So as you enjoy these years as a single woman, and I pray you will, use your apartment, rented bungalow, or shared house to invite friends and family in for meals, Bible studies, and holiday celebrations. But most importantly, may I encourage you to learn the number one homemaking skill? That skill is surrendering your heart to Jesus every single day. Our friend, Miss Kitty, lived a life surrendered to Jesus. It was His presence in her that greeted us every time we went to her house. Cooking and decorating classes abound. You can take one or more anytime, anywhere. But creating a warm home that even little children recognize is possible only when your heart is completely His. What caught you by surprise during your first year of marriage? Honestly, many things surprised me during the first year, but one of the first was how differently we viewed the spending of our very limited combined incomes. I was shocked that he was perfectly fine to buy more fishing gear when we had our books and many other things stored on boards between stacked concrete cinder blocks. The fact that he thought our temporary solution to no furniture was perfectly fine and good enough to last for months or years made my head hurt from bewilderment. It was a clash of values. It was also the beginning of decades of merging our values through endless conversations to understand why his hobbies were important to him and why having storage was important to me. Keep learning, girl. The two of us hope the wisdom, advice, and counsel from these four godly women blessed your socks off as much as it did ours. We hope you were challenged and inspired by what these women shared. We as younger women can learn so much from the older women in our lives. God's plan in Titus 2 is truly brilliant. Don't try to figure out everything about singleness, romance, relationships, and marriage on your own. Choose to tap into the endless wisdom and counsel available to you from the godly women in your life. Reach out to them and ask them to share their insights with you. Start by asking them the same questions Yvonne, Kim, Heidi, and Barbara were asked. Then come up with some additional ones on your own. If you don't personally know any godly women, be intentional to get your hands on some resources written by godly women. For starters, Kim Wagner and Barbara Rainey both have wonderful published resources that you can find online and in stores. Don't bypass this incredible and priceless opportunity. You will be amazed by how much there truly is to learn.
Chapter 17 Study Guide. Don't try to figure out everything about singleness, romance, relationships, and marriage on your own. Choose to tap into the endless wisdom and counsel available to you from the godly women in your life. 1. Describe a time in your life when you made a poor decision based on a lack of maturity. For example, cow tipping. 2. Think about all the things older women are called to teach younger women in Titus 2, 3 through 4. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. What value do you see in learning from older women? 3. What was your greatest takeaway from the advice of each woman? Yvonne Welch, Kimberly Wagner, Heidi Baird, Barbara Rainey. 4. What are two ways that your life would specifically benefit from having a mentor? Make it personal. Is there an older woman in your community who could be a Titus 2 woman in your life by mentoring you? Seriously consider reaching out to her for mentorship. Chapter 18. A Love Story Worth Fighting For. It was a warm summer evening, and the two of us were getting ready to head out on the town for a fun sister dinner date. With Kristen getting married to Zach in just a few short weeks, we wanted to enjoy our final moments of being single sisters together. We both knew that our lives were about to change in a really big, but really exciting way. As we pulled out of the driveway and headed down the street, the two of us started reminiscing about some of our favorite sister memories. We talked about everything from our past crushes, to our crazy cow tipping adventure, to Kristen's hilariously embarrassing NASCAR driving incident, to Bethany's shoe-throwing scandal. The more we talked, the more we noticed a trending theme in our conversation. The topics of guys, love, and romance were a big part of our pasts. Although it was easy to look back on the memories and laugh now, we both knew the reality of how hard it had been. We both clearly remembered how challenging those teenage years were. Striving after purity and trying to embrace God's design for love hadn't been a walk in the park. There were times of wondering if God's ways truly were best. There were times of feeling alone and lonely in our pursuit of God's design for purity. And there were times of questioning if guys with vision, passion, and purpose still existed. Thankfully, Zach showed us they did. Despite our challenges and questions, we both truly believed God's ways were worth fighting for. As time went on, we began to experience the blessing and joy of living for His glory, and we were confident that it was worth it. With Kristen's wedding just around the corner, we'd seen firsthand the beauty of pursuing a relationship according to God's good design. We'd seen the benefits of embracing purity. We'd seen the joy that comes from centering a relationship on Christ and making His glory the focus. And even though I, Bethany, was single at the time, and still am, I was confident that God's ways were better. I was convinced that doing relationships according to God's design was the best way to go. Watching Kristen joyfully approach her wedding day reassured me that embracing love defined by God was worth the pursuit.
Fighting for love defined by God. Let's be real for a minute. Embracing God's design for true love isn't easy. It's completely countercultural. What the two of us have said in this audiobook takes a whole lot of guts, gumption, grace, and prayer to live out. Thankfully, with Christ's strength, we can be victorious. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to Him. The Lord is the strength of His people. Psalm 28:7 through 8. When it comes to God's design for love, the two of us have often felt like lone fish in a big ocean. It seems as though most people are swimming in one direction and we're swimming in the other. In moments like these, it can be hard to stay the course, to swim against the flow. To help us stay on track, we've needed regular reminders of God's bigger picture. We've needed reminders of why we embrace God's design for love, marriage, and sex. We've needed reminders of whose glory we're truly living for. The more we've focused on God's truth, the easier it has become to stand strong. We encourage you to do the same thing. As you embrace God's design, you may often feel as though you're the only one pursuing it. At times, everyone may be swimming against God's truth, and you'll have to make the tough choice to swim in the opposite direction. Even if everyone around you is ditching purity, God will give you the strength to stand strong. Even if all your friends are having sex before marriage, you will know the value of saving it for marriage. Even if the women around you are marrying non-believers, you will understand the importance of waiting for a Christian man. Galatians 6:8-9 reminds us of the bigger picture. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Focusing on God's bigger picture will help you stand strong and swim against the culture flow. And for the times that sin and failure do occur, remember that you have a Heavenly Father who loves and cares for you deeply. His grace is sufficient for your every weakness. His forgiveness is available to those who confess their sins. See 1 John 1:9. May the words of Psalm 86:5 be a constant source of encouragement to you as it is for us. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Love Defined Challenge. Throughout this audiobook, you've learned some incredible truths. You've gained the knowledge of what love defined by God looks like. However, knowledge alone isn't enough. If you don't choose to put His truths into action, your life won't be changed. Your relationships won't look any different. Your love life won't be built on God's timeless design. We want personally to challenge you to put the truths of this audiobook into action. If you're ready to embrace God's spectacular design, we hope you'll take this Love Defined Challenge. Listen to the following challenge and check off all the boxes of the things to which you're committed.
Trusting God with your love story. I, Bethany, always dreamed of getting married young, but God obviously has different plans for my life. With no prospects on the horizon, I'm continuing to trust God in this area. I'm striving to faithfully serve God right where He has me.
I, Kristen, had always dreamed of having a house full of kids shortly after marriage. But even to this day, there are no kids in sight. God clearly has a very different plan for my life. If there's one thing the two of us have learned, it's this. God's plans are often different from our plans. As Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." Whether you're still in your teen years, your 20s, or well past them, the Lord will establish His good plan in your life. Regardless of how your future unfolds, you can still trust God's plan. Love Defined Challenge. I am committed to becoming a woman who strives to courageously reject the lies of the fairy tale facade and instead looks to God's word for truth, boldly jump off the merry-go-round and instead pursues love according to God's timeless method for lasting relationships, fully embrace God's spectacular design for love, marriage, and sex, intentionally live out biblical femininity in my romantic relationships, build God-honoring friendships with the guys in my life, pursue romantic relationships with intentionality, prayer, outside wisdom, and accountability, build my romantic relationships on a foundation of purity and holiness, choose to trust, T-R-U-S-T, God in my singleness, take active steps to thrive as a single woman and serve those around me, seek counsel and wisdom from older godly women to continue learning more about love defined by God. We pray you will join us in bravely living out the Love Defined Challenge. You're not alone in this fight. Come link arms with thousands of other women who are striving for the same things. You can find amazing support through our online sisterhood over at girldefined.com.
If marriage is part of God's plan for your future at some point, then you can rest assured that His timing is perfect. You can leave the details of your story to Him. Whether you're single for a short season, a long season, or for your entire life, your calling doesn't change. Your job is to trust God and serve Him faithfully, right now, right where He has you. As you trust God with your life and your future, we want to leave you with a powerful prayer of surrender, hope, and trust. This prayer has been a regular theme in our own lives. We encourage you to make it your own. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching me about your incredible design for love, relationships, and marriage. I am so grateful for your word and the wisdom it provides in my life. Please give me the courage to embrace and live out your plan for Christ-centered love. Help me to honor and glorify you in my romantic relationships. Help me to trust you during seasons of singleness. Please give me the strength to wait patiently on your good timing in my life. You are a good father. I surrender my plans and dreams to you. Thank you for loving me so faithfully. May my life be an offering of praise and worship back to you. Amen. The two of us are cheering you on. Choosing to embrace God's plan for love isn't easy, but it is undoubtedly worth it. You will never regret choosing to do things God's way. May you never grow weary of swimming against the cultural flow. May you never grow tired of glorifying God in your romantic relationships. May you never lose sight of chasing hard after purity. May you never stop growing in your understanding of Christ-centered love. As you embrace God's beautiful design for true love, romance, and lasting relationships, may your life be a beacon of hope in our lost and broken world. May the beauty of Christ's love shine through you as you courageously pursue love defined by God. Chapter 18 Study Guide. Choosing to embrace God's plan for love isn't easy, but it is undoubtedly worth it. You will never regret choosing to do things God's way. 1. How has this audiobook most impacted your view of love and romance? 2. How will your future relationships be changed as a result of listening to this audiobook? 3. In what ways has your understanding of God grown as you've learned more about His bigger picture for love, marriage, and sex? 4. Embracing love defined by God won't be easy. How does Psalm 28:7-8 encourage you in this? The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to Him. The Lord is the strength of His people. 5. If you have benefited from the wisdom in this audiobook, don't keep it to yourself. Can you think of one friend who would benefit from the message of love defined by God? If so, we challenge you to do one of the following. Get her a copy of this audiobook and explain how it has inspired you, or invite her to listen alongside you and discuss the audiobook together. Appendix, Finding Freedom and Forgiveness from Past Sexual Sin. Past sexual sin can feel profoundly weighty at times. It can feel overwhelming, even all-consuming. When sexual sin is not dealt with in a biblical way, it will often bleed into the very fibers of how we view our identity. Undealt with sin has a way of deceiving us into believing we are now worthless, beyond forgiveness, utterly ruined. But this is not true. The two of us want you to know you are loved and valued by your Creator, regardless of your past. Yes, God is greatly grieved by our sin and calls us to repentance, but that does not change His ultimate love for us. Your worth is not defined by what you've done or by what's been done to you. Your worth is defined by God alone. And because of Him, you have immeasurable value. You have intrinsic importance because you are made in God's very image. See Genesis 1:26. Even when you were a tiny baby inside your mother's womb, God was there, handcrafting your existence into reality. See Psalm 139:13-15.
A simple illustration of our unchanging worth and value in God's eyes can be found in a $100 bill. Imagine that you're holding a $100 bill in your hand. Someone walks up to you and asks, "How much is that bill worth?" A little confused, you reply, "It's worth $100. The person then proceeds to take the bill from your hand and crumples it up in their own hands. Once the bill is nicely wrinkled, they drop it on the floor and stomp on it, grinding it into the ground. Next, they crumble it up even more in their sweaty hands. They then hand the crumbled, dirty, and slightly moist bill back to you. With some hesitation, you reach out and take it. "Open it up," they encourage you. You slowly unfold and uncrumple the weary-looking bill. Holding it up again, you notice that it looks different. It has a few black marks, it's covered with creases, it even has one small rip. "How much is it worth now?" the person asks you intently. Your eyes slowly lock onto theirs. After a few moments of thought, you say, "It's still worth $100. No amount of dirt or stains will change the value of a $100 bill. We as women work the exact same way in God's eyes. Regardless of our past sexual sin or the sexual sins that have been committed against us, our worth remains the same. Sin may produce some creases, crumples, and tears in our lives, but it doesn't change our value. If you have believed the lie that you are less than because of your past, don't believe it anymore. Put your hope and trust in the God who loves you and says you are precious to Him. God's love for us is so incredibly mind-blowing because it is not based on anything we can do, but solely on what Christ has done for us. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Jesus died because we're sinners, not because we're perfect Christian women. We need a Savior. We need the forgiveness and freedom that can only come through Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:1 exhorts us in this by saying, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Christ died so we could be freed from our sin. We are no longer slaves. No matter how ugly, how dirty, or how shameful you feel about your past sexual sin, you can find freedom through Jesus Christ. And that can begin today, right now. Before listening to the next section, take a moment to pause and pray. Spend a few minutes praising God for sending His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. See John 3:16. Praise God for the value and worth that He alone has given you. Praise the name of Jesus for the power that He can give you to walk in freedom, truth, and light. It's time to lay your burdens at the foot of the cross. We want to guide you through some practical steps for finding freedom. These are action steps that we see in Scripture for finding freedom from the bondage of sin. As you hear each step, take a moment to pray and act on what is being said. 1. Confess your past and/or current sexual sin to God. The very first step to finding freedom from sin is to humbly confess that sin to God. Pray and verbally confess to God that you have disobeyed His word and have sinned against Him. Psalm 51 is an excellent section of Scripture to meditate on and pray through to help you confess sin. David penned this psalm after his sexual sin with Bathsheba. Allow the words of Psalm 51 to draw your heart back to God in repentance. 2. Accept God's forgiveness. Once you have confessed your sins, accept God's forgiveness. He promises to give you complete and total forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God is faithful and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you confess. What a hopeful promise. 3. Dig beneath the surface. Sexual sin is often the outworking of other sins. Discontentment, lack of trust in God's plan, pride, ingratitude, rebellion, fear, etc. Examine your heart and life and ask yourself, where did my heart go astray? Listen to the following list and see if any of these things were or are true in your life when the sexual sin took place. Was I in rebellion? Was my relationship with God weak or non-existent?
Did I understand God's instructions regarding sex? Did I give in to peer pressure? Did I choose an ungodly boyfriend? Was I in a secret relationship? Did I fail to set up moral boundaries? Was I confused about the true meaning of love? Did I compromise to feel like someone really loved me? Did romance novels or movies entice me to become sexually active? Did any of the above reasons contribute to your sexual sin? If so, be intentional to take action in that area. By digging a little deeper, you will be better equipped to attack the sin head-on and cut off those specific temptations. 4. Ask a godly woman to be your mentor. Since we don't know the ins and outs of your personal struggles, we encourage you to connect with an older godly woman who can help you work through your struggles. Proactively pursue a relationship with this woman and ask her to mentor you. Be honest and open with her. Ask her for counsel and wisdom from God's word. 5. Fill your mind with truth. The fact that you're listening to this audiobook is a sign that you desire to learn and grow in your understanding of God's design for love, marriage, and sex. Filling your mind with truth is essential as you move forward in faithfulness to God. In addition to listening to this audiobook, I highly encourage you to grab a copy of one or all of the following books. Sex and the Single Girl by Julie Slattery. Meet Mr. Smith, Revolutionize the Way You Think About Sex, Purity, and Romance by Eric and Leslie Ludi. And The Bride Wore White, 7 Secrets to Sexual Purity by Dana Gresh. Sex is Not the Problem, Lust Is by Joshua Harris. Finally Free, Fighting for Purity with the Power of Grace by Heath Lambert. Freedom and forgiveness from sexual sin is available to you through the power and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Him, you have the ability to walk in the freedom and fullness that only He offers. May the beautiful words of Isaiah 61:3 wash over your heart and remind you that God is in the restoration business. He will give you a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for His own glory. NLT.
Thank you for listening to this recording of Love Defined by Kristen Clark and Bethany Baird. This book was narrated by Kristen Clark and Bethany Baird. This audio recording was produced in 2018 by Christian Audio, which owns the copyright. No portion of this recording may be reproduced for any reason without prior written consent from Christian Audio. This edition issued by contractual arrangement with Baker Books, a division of Baker Publishing Group. Originally published in English as Love Defined, Embracing God's Vision for Lasting Love and Satisfying Relationships. Copyright 2018 by Kristen Clark and Bethany Baird. All rights reserved. Please visit christianaudio.com, facebook.com/christianaudio, or twitter.com/christianaudio to offer your impressions of this work and to explore additional titles.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.